Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric, with me is my co-host Jim.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We are good, thanks. Thank you for joining us this week. Both of us have been active, so we got a lot of talk about our own games this week. The tournament circuit, not sleeping at all, coming back with 6 GTs this weekend to talk about. And of course, we got the ITC top 10, the big shakeup, new top 10. Of course, the former number one had all his points zeroed out. We talked about that at length last week. No need to belabor that point. Let's move on to a wonderful new start to the rest of the season. So in the first part, let's talk about what's new with GW this week. 3 weeks of we're going to try to get ourselves caught up. Is this a good thing or a bad thing, Jim?
So what do I think of the 3 week delay, Eric?
Yes.
Well, I'm of two minds. I mean, I think, well, we're never going to make everyone happy. I definitely think that, if Games Workshop needs it, they need it. I just hope that we actually see some, progress from all this. Because I know, obviously, England's going, they're opening up quite a bit in England, not fully, but a lot more. And I just wish they would communicate exactly what's going on, because they did say kind of at the start of the year that they were going to go to the 2 week pre-order schedule, and that was going to be temporary. And then they were like, oh, now we're going to this 3 week thing. So it just feels like they're giving us just the vaguest details. I just really wish they would let us know, or maybe even stop announcing stuff, unless they know when stuff's going to come out. Because Admech book's been announced for a while. The Sisters Bulletin's going on. So who knows what's going on with that? Are we getting a Sisters book? Are we not? There's obviously a Demon supplement of some kind announced for Bellicor. So we know all this stuff is coming, but I always hate it when you know things are coming, but you don't know when, because it kind of has it creates a little bit of let me rephrase. Normally it would create a little bit of shopping paralysis. Obviously, I don't think that's an issue right now. People are scooping up stuff as fast as they can, but it just makes me hesitant to want to do a lot until I know kind of what's next.
I think you're on the right track, because it is almost too much. And my biggest concern now is all the stuff has been previewed. Not a lot of it's hit the shelves for obvious reasons. So now I'm thinking, is this all there is? I'm trying to think, by the time this all comes out, are we into July? Are we into August? Is there nothing else coming out? Which is kind of how it was the old days. You only had 3 codices a year. So you're kind of all right, I have built my army. I know I'm not getting any new models for the rest of the year. I don't have to make a whole lot of meta changes. It's kind of that mix of, I like the excitement of new stuff, but if I'm never going to get my hands on it, don't tease me. So
yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'll be at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if, obviously we know and we think it's basically May. I'd imagine we have 2 months. I said May is probably going to just be AdMech as far as releases for 40K. I don't think we're going to get much else, which means that June is maybe one more release potentially, and then AOS 3 is in July, I'd imagine, which means it's probably going to dominate the entire July schedule with the remainder of the Broken Realm stuff. So it's kind of we're going to get 2 more books here, and then we're in the fall, and we're still only on Sisters, Yep. So I'm just really curious, and I hope they do have a plan to catch this up. I don't know if it's a production issue or a shipping issue, because I know obviously it's not just GW, right? There's lots of issues at the various ports. The shipping supply chains are all messed up. There's boats getting stuck in the Suez Canal, or in the whatever it's called. It's not the Suez Canal. That's the one in Suez. What's the one in Asia? Is that the Suez Canal?
No, that's in Central America. The one in Japan. I forgot to see Japan. So I know what you mean, though.
The Persian Gulf. The one where the big boat got stuck. Anyways, my point is, there's a million factors in supply chain, and GW just needs to do a better job of communicating. So that's all I want.
So interesting, you mentioned the Sisters Battle Sister Bulletin. Another Sisters Battleton beckons this week. Will the Adeptus Sororitas have in store new miniatures, updated rules, artwork? Join us tomorrow. So that'd be Monday if you're listening to this recording later in the week. Find out tomorrow. So maybe that's their idea, is a kind of a soft edit for some of these armies. I don't know. It just makes it harder to collect everything, and then I'd rather go with the codex.
Okay, and quickly interrupt. I'm not as dumb as I thought. It is the Suez Canal. The Panama Canal is the one in Central America.
Okay, so I'm stupid.
I was like, I swear it is the Suez Canal. And then I was like, is it though? And then I just checked, it is. Okay.
Yeah, Suez is the one in Persian Gulf, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's where the big dumb boat was stuck.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm sure somebody will correct us in some comments. Anyway, supposedly a new model coming out tomorrow. You're thinking that it's Sylvaneth of some kind?
I think it's the Kronothi or whatever. Whatever Alarial is. So I don't know if she's Sylvaneth or Kronothi or whatever. Okay. But it's Wood Elves, basically. Some Wood Elf equivalent. AOS. So I think it'll be whatever we're going to get for the third. So there's Broken Realms Bellicor, which just came out because I saw it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And the next one is Broken Realms Kronothi, I think. Or Kronos or whatever. I think this model will be for them. That race.
What'd you think of that awesome the Slan, the toad who's like half dead?
Oh, Lord Croak?
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I think, a few things. A, I have like really like old memories of Lord Croak from 5th edition fantasy, where he used to be able to cast there was a spell. This is an amazing spell. I think I can't remember exactly the name of the spell. But you could literally pick up a terrain piece. So you like picked up a hill and anything on it would just basically die. So like he could move terrain pieces across the table. It's called like, I can't remember the exact name, but he was like this crazy. He's basically a leech, right? Because he's undead. So he's basically a leech slan mage. Obviously the new model's crazy cool. It's got lots of cool tech. I think what I like about it the most is they didn't really, like, it seems the trend nowadays with new models is to like triple their size. So mm-hmm. I do appreciate that they managed to kind of keep them similar scale, and they just made him more grand with like the various like elements and stuff, but he's still kind of fairly similar sized. They didn't just like come up with some lame reason. They're like, oh yeah, he's been eating his like special juice, and so he's like twice as big now. It's like he's still a slan size, right? Like he's not like Bellicor, who got like a three times growth spurt, you know. Not to say that I'm complaining, because Bellicor is awesome.
I'm trying to figure out a way to get Croak into 40k somehow. I don't know. I'm just looking at that. That's such a cool model. But anyway, the new model coming out Monday, I'm going to say what every other Drukhari player says. Ah, it's Vect. Right. And once it comes out, that'll be my new Archon. So I'll figure out a way to work that into conversion. And Ray pointed this out to me. He should be joining us later. He just texted me. He's running a little bit late. The new White Dwarf. This is issue 464 if you're scoring at home. And right off the bat, we have a new 40K index coming. Specially made for Jim Vessel. Specially made for me.
Can't wait. Index
Hereticus, the Fallen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we just got a Dark Angels Codex, and now we're getting more Dark Angels. I'm tentatively excited for two reasons. A, new Chaos Rules always gets me excited. I can't speak.
If Jim can't be more exciting, we get it.
Well, the biggest thing is too that like I'm just curious if they're actually going to be good, because I don't think the Fallen have ever been good in any edition ever. I could be wrong, but I don't remember them ever being good. Like the current rules are just absolute dog poop. And they're just unusable. And like, it was always weird to me that like they invested so much, like there's so much like stuff in the Dark Angels Codex regarding the Fallen. And I'm just like, and there's like stratagems around the Fallen and all this other stuff. I'm just like, literally they never see the tabletop. Also, I just painted and finished my Cypher model pretty recently. So that'd be exciting to do. Plus I have lots of Space Marines that I could convert into Fallen. So that'd be fun. And then my third point is, I don't know, are we going to get two Wound Fallen before two Wound Chaos Space Marines? You know,
that's my point. What I was going with is this the bridge point where all of a sudden they're not Imperial Space Marines, but they still get two wounds? Is this the first time we get that? I don't know. But you're right. No, the only time Fallen were any good was Index 8th Edition. So it was before stratagems, before it was just like they had their own little entry. You added Cypher to it. You got all these extra rerolls, and they were pretty good. And then as soon as the codices start dropping with stratagems, and they kind of fell behind. And then the Psychic Awakening stuff, I was like, what is this nonsense? So it was bad. It's bad, bad, bad. But yeah, I have a fully painted Fallen army. It's my old Chaos Space Marine army, and I'm excited to see what comes in this, but I'm prepared to be disappointed once again, because they've just been, have yet to nail it once.
That would be fun.
So, don't know. All right. Jimmy mentioned when we talked to you two episodes ago that you had some Team Canada responsibilities, as well as your appearance on Play on Tabletop.
Yeah, I did. So I did record at Play on Tabletop last Sunday, which was fun. I'm not going to tell you what happened because you got to tune in. I also did an army showcase where I got to bring my entire Chaos collection. Things around 30,000 points, set it up, managed to fit it on one 6x4 table, but just barely. It was a long day because I went a few hours early to set up and pack away. And somehow I ended up with, you know, when you like put something together and you end up with all these spare parts. And you're like, I don't, or you take something apart and then you try to put it back together and you end up with like spare screws. Essentially, that's what happened. I took my army out of my case and then I tried to put it back in and I ended up with like another half case of models that I couldn't fit in. And so I wasn't quite sure how I actually got them in the first place. So that'll be probably airing around the end of May. So it's going to be quite a while. And yeah, I played a game against Northern Ireland yesterday on TTS with my Terminus S list. Won, I think, 80 something to 50s. It was a 14-6, which is in the 20-0 system, which is decent.
That's good.
And yeah, that's kind of my Team Canada gaming this week. I released my first YouTube video that I've ever edited. So I've been doing a lot of streaming on my channels, but I actually like filmed footage, put it together, put like a intro, talked, like did little graphics. So I've been having a lot of fun kind of teaching myself Adobe Premiere, Adobe Photoshop, and then just like editing in general. So I did, so it's my very first painting video. It's how to paint Soul Drinker's purple armor. And you can obviously check that out on my channel's Duplicity Paint Studio on YouTube. I just actually got 500 subscribers on YouTube, so I'm super excited about that.
That's pretty cool. I'm going
to do a little bit more content. And that's not bad for 5 weeks. I mean, I'm no Casey Neistat, but you know, we got to start somewhere. So I'm very excited about that. And then next week I got a full week of streaming as well. So yeah, just lots going on. Lots going on in my Warhammer life, I guess. I wish they would do like real world Warhammer and it was just like me following me around and they could kind of see what happens.
Now you've been very active and you can, Jim, we can follow you on where on Instagram?
So Instagram, I'm at JimboV_paints. And then on YouTube, I am youtube.com/duplicitypaintstudio. And Twitch, I'm just twitch.com/duplicitypaint. Yeah, so that's where you can find me on the internet.
Okay.
Or you can just message me on Facebook and I will give you all the links. And also my podcast, my multiple podcasts, just search The Best Overall Show on any podcast app. But also make sure you listen to this one because this is more important to me.
Thank you. What's your topic this week on Best Overall?
We don't have a topic. It's just me and David. I'm just going to shoot the shit and talk about, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Before I was very into planning everything. And now that I'm doing so much content, I'm like day of. I'm like, okay, what are we doing today?
So. You guys do an in-depth breakdown of the Fallen as they come out. So,
yeah, that's right.
For me, we've been hyping this for a long time. I finally got my first game on stream. Now, granted, it was my local team, but nice. I got to play my game earlier today. So it was a pretty tough matchup. I was going up against one of our better players, Aaron. He gets out to a lot more of the, he does a lot more traveling than I do. So he gets out to the bigger events outside of our local area more than I do. Right. He was doing a kind of a Vanguard vet white scar list. A whole mm-hmm. bunch of guys with Wolverine claws and storm shields. And it's great viewing. And we've recorded two videos. We did the full length, you know, blow by blow. So if you want to watch the whole video, Matt, our team captain, along with me, he did a great job of videoing on that. And then we do a 20-minute like recap where you get to watch the game in fast forward and the two of us kind of tell us straight and talk about what we saw happen and what didn't happen on the game. So I'll be posting those on our Facebook page. And if you want to check that out, I played my Jukari and I'm still learning them. As we go through the tournament stuff, I'm curious to see how some other players are working through it. I think the bigger thing, I'll be curious to see how the meta reacts to them, because there are definitely some things that happened in this game. I was kind of like, I did not expect that to happen. For example, in everybody calls Jukari, you know, glass hammers, right?
Yeah.
they never hit that hard. And I just kind of rolled my eyes when everybody said that. It was just like, I'm still allocating an Archon, 5 Incubi, and then I have like another unit of Grotesques lurking in the shadows to make sure I can take out these 5 Intercessors. And sure enough, there's like one left. I'm like, oh, you owe me a morale check. Oh, thanks, stay put. Great. This has been the exact opposite. The Incubi touch something, bang, they're dead. I'm like, well, now they're out in the open. Oh, this is not good. And that's kind of was the theme of the game, where you can see me like at the end of the game, I had to take off 6 Blade Guard veterans. So, and I had a full unit of Trueborn, 2 Grotesques, a full unit of Witches, a Succubus, and my Archon all lurking about. I'm like, okay, I might be able to pull this off. The Archon never swung all game. The Succubus and the Trueborn eliminated all of them. Took them off a center objective.
Yeah, they're pretty nasty.
That was just like, what the heck? So I have to get used to allocating my resources a little bit better. So it's a fun game to watch. Spoiler alert. So Aaron takes our gargantuan lead. At one point, he was up by 36 at the end. Bottom of 3, I was starting the turn. I was like, I'm losing by 36 points. This is embarrassing. Final score, he ended up winning 80-72.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, so close. It really came down to a poor choice in secondaries on my part. Or a good play on his part. It's how you want to look at it. I took Assassinate. He had 3 characters that would have given me 9 points. Mm-hmm. The other option was the kill point one. And where I get extra points for killing stuff in close combat. That probably would have been better, because I would have at least gotten a few points. Once he saw on turn 3 that he was up big, he hid his characters deep in the corner. Mm-hmm. He was like, go ahead, come get him. And at that point, he'd also wiped out all my fly units that have eviscerating flyby. So I was like, ah. So I just went after primaries and started denying him a couple points here and there. And that's came close, but could not seal the deal. Fell 8 points short. So,
well, sorry, man. I lost a pretty bad game yesterday on TTS against 6 Epic Flyer. So I feel your pain. Did you at least get a lot of learning out of it? Do you feel like you're getting a handle on it?
Oh, yeah. A lot of learning, a lot of understanding. A little of my fear over streaming at this point. I was really self-conscious. Still a little bit. I point that on the Telestrator. Man, my belly has gotten big over COVID, so I got to fix that. But it actually felt better because I was talking out what I planned to do. I didn't feel like I was giving away any like secrets of what was going on. So being more conversive and more playing with intent, I think will be a better play experience for both myself and my opponent moving forward.
Yeah.
In my practice games, I got 2 practice games in on Friday. Yeah, that's the biggest thing was even, you know, everybody's looking at him like, it was kind of a dick move, Eric. You kind of overcommitted. It's like, they never hit this hard before, you know? Played a Custodes player, 1 unit of Incubi with the Archon supporting him. I didn't think he swung. Killed an entire unit of Dawn Eagle jet bikes. It was just like, what does this, how did this ever happen? You should took my whole army to wipe out Dawn Eagle jet bikes. Now I'm like, chop, chop, chop. So anyway, I don't know. I have to kind of take a step back and look at maybe more stuff that holds, more stuff that defends. I will tell you, I talk about it on stream. There's 2 stratagems where I can put stuff in reserve mid-game. Should have done that. Would have won me the game. So there's a couple shenanigans I can still work on. So I can work on those first before I switch around the list.
Absolutely. Yeah. They got a lot of tools. And I think once you start figuring out like the timing on how to use stratagems and when and how to like do all your various shenanigans, it's incredibly strong, as we'll find out when we go through the tournament results.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
So that's a great segue. Let's start it off. So as I mentioned, 7 GTs to go over, as well as a brief part of our favorite segment, Big Names at a Small Tournament. So our first stop is Detroit, Michigan. We go to the Motor City Mayhem. So our top 5 looks something like this. Kyle Perry with Eldari, Rex Buckingham with Chaos, Friend of the show, Colin McDade with Harlequins comes in third. Daniel Kennedy with Cult Mechanicus in second. And Brad Chester coming in first with Drukhari. So correct me if I'm wrong, Brad. I know he's friends with Nick Navadi, but is he actually part of Art of War? Is he actually?
Yeah, he's one of their coaches. Okay. I mean, he doesn't obviously live in the trap house, but I definitely know he's one of their coaches.
Okay. So right off the bat, Drukhari taking the top spot. But one thing we'll see quite a few times is Cult Mech making quite a few appearances in the top five this weekend. So I thought that was interesting. Their book is on the way, and they're still extremely competitive. Curious to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Moving up to Washington, I hope I'm pronouncing this town right, Holquam, Washington, for the Dead Primarch GT.
That is grim. I wonder which Dead Primarch it's named after.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a Dead President's reference. I don't know. But anyway, your top five looks something like this. William Gill with Custodes comes in fifth. Colby Hopkins with Chaos comes in fourth. Zachary Nelson with White Scars in third. In second place, David Rossen, with Necrons. And Jeremiah Birkdale with Drukhari. So Drukhari once again taking top spot. But now we see more Chaos Soup and Necrons getting the top five.
Yeah, which is rare, but what we'll see soon is that it is the exception, not the rule.
Okay. Bartlesville, Oklahoma is our next stop for War for the Wooden Spoon. Your top five looks like this. Benjamin Schneider with Sororitas. Jason Merton also with Sororitas. So sisters representing down in the panhandle. I guess it would be Tornado Alley down there. Kyle McCord with Imperium Soup. Bam Bam Hunter. That's what he goes by on PCP.
Flying Monkeys, right? That's the Flying Monkeys guy?
That's right. Yes, it is. Now I get it. He's good doing a Chaos Soup as well. And Connor McCormick, first place, Drukhari. So that's three GTs in a row. Drukhari have taken top spot. So apparently I'm the idiot who can't win with them. But you're saying more Chaos Soup still at the top and two sisters list at the top. I think it's just a matter of you just can't get the models or players are just not playing a lot of sisters or...
Yeah, it's hard to say.
All right. Minnesota, Roseville, Minnesota to be exact for the Spring Up GT. A couple of familiar names from this group here. Top five, Jeremiah Pettit with Custodes, Tyler DeVries with Imperium. Third place, Logan Tillman with Death Guard. And then Drukhari once again in the top two spots. Number two, Ben Cherwin. Number one, James Keeling of Goonhammer. So more Drukhari goodness here. Interesting, Death Guard. I thought that was supposed to be the codex everybody was supposed to be afraid of.
Sorry, which codex?
Death Guard.
Yeah, honestly, as someone that's been playing competitive Death Guard for the last 3 months, 4 months, they're really starting to lose a lot of their shine. I just don't think they're... Especially with Drukhari on the scene now, I don't think they have the tools to compete with these high speed lists. And the more and more new books that have come out, it's just like they're starting to kind of fade into not non-competitiveness. Pure Death Guard, anyways. I think Soup obviously has some play, but that's obviously not too long for this world. So,
well, Drukhari was similar to that. They're much like I used to call them. They were a lot like eggnog. When their last codex came out, it was great for the holidays. It was very tasty, but 3 months later, it's overpriced and expiring quickly. So, all right, we go now to Seminole, Florida for DockerCon. You have to say it that way. It's part of the contract. In fifth place is Austin Tabling. I wonder if that's really his name. That's just an awesome name. But anyway, Austin Tabling.
That'd be a pretty funny name.
It'd be really cool. Also, that's really your name. I apologize. But he's playing Nids. He did the double I just been pronouncing the Dibicaron. Yeah, double Dibicaron list. I'm putting Jim to sleep. That's how bad I am at this.
Excuse me. Sorry. It's been long.
Sean Roy with Death Guard coming in fourth. Lee Harris with Imperial Knights. And yes, I did check. It actually yearly is the Imperial Knight list coming in third. Gavin Kahn. He has his own Kahn at DockerCon. This guy named Gavin. With Necrons coming in second, and Mark Perry coming in first with Chaos.
Mark Perry, my boy, thank you for representing Chaos. So I'm good. And this is a topic that I'm sure I could spend a whole episode on, but like Mark is a very, I'd say, unconventional player, I would say, and he writes very unique lists. And I was talking to him because I'm in various chats with him, but I'm just really sad that the only way Chaos can compete right now is through this crazy Frankenstein like patchwork of many different codexes with really weird, unintuitive ways to build the lists that isn't really obvious, and also just tons of like rule stacking cross faction that normally is not allowed, or that is not probably intended, but it will most likely get nerfed. It just makes me sad that like that's the only way Chaos can be competitive, is just with this like these very niche kind of like out there lists with just the way that, like, you know, just taking advantage of the keyword system and building like very like mixed out detachments and stuff,
right,
in order to kind of like stack as many different, like, you almost like Mark is running three different books, right? You need three codexes worth of rules to like make the army competitive. Like, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, it's not good enough on its own. No one book.
When looking at Mark's design, is he just trolling for the best, or is he looking for a certain synergy, or what's going on there?
No, he's everything has a role, and I think everything is, it's a very toolboxy list with a lot of different, you know, it has tools for everything. And because of the fact that he's relying on basically two to three different codexes with all of their associated stratagems, he's able to stack various rules through the various keywords in ways that are advantageous, and then also cover off weaknesses of any one book, right? And, you know, for me, Chaos is a super faction. It always will be a super faction, and it's very unique to them. And what we've seen with Death Guard is they're trying to get people away from that, especially with the way that core works, keywords work, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd imagine lists like this will not exist whenever the next Codex book drops, which will be probably whenever Chaos Space Marine drops, it's going to invalidate a lot of these lists, because I think a lot of that's going to go away. So yeah, it's just unfortunate, because it's unfortunate that it's come to that, I guess.
Right. Well, I think it's also a design change from the game standpoint, you know, designers, you know, that's what worked in 8th, and that was what was, you know, applauded, and now in 9th edition they're trying to go away from that. So anyway, if you're curious at home, what is Mark's list? Let's go through that real quick. It starts with an Emperor's Children Patrol featuring a Demon Prince with wings. He also gave the Demon Prince Warp Time. So it's a Dark Apostle with a Relic of Radiant of Maravigilia. And then, of course, he's got the disciples hanging around. He's got 10 Noise Marines featuring 2 Blastmasters and 8 Sonic Blasters. And, of course, the Icon of Exus and 25 Cultists. Mm-hmm. Then he adds in 5 Terminators with Solo Lightning Claws and 4 of them with Combi Bolters, 1 with a Reaper Autocannon, also with an Icon of Exus, and 4 Chaos Spawn and a Rhino. Then he starts a Vanguard detachment of Heretic Astartes. So this is just looks like a mix of...
Mix.
So he's got a Sorcerer from the Emperor's Children. He's got a Taliban. He's got a Foul Blight from Spawn. Death Guard. Yep, Death Guard. Emperor's Children, Leviathan Dreadnought with Melta Lance and Siege Drill, as well as the Volkite Cavaliers, and a World Eater Spawn. And then last but not least, he took a Supreme Command detachment featuring Mortarion, who is his Warlord.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, he's using Death Guard, like Emperor's Children, just a weird mix. And like, yeah, that Heretic Astartes detachment, I guess, if you ask any player that is not at a very high level playing, they would never come to that. Like, no, like that, if the way that attachment is built, the way that it uses Heretic Astartes keywords to kind of cross stack, cross faction, and build a mixed Heretic Astartes detachment, that's so unintuitive for new players, these mixed detachments. And I know, like, so it's just something to like keep an eye. I think it's going to go away. And just the way the rule stacking works, but right, you know, good for Mark. I'm excited for him.
This makes a perfect segue when we're talking about weird lists. We're going to go to a big name at a small tournament. This would be the Lord Mortis Invitational in Jim's favorite new city, Mahwah, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Naden took the top prize with Aldari, and Alexander Fennel, otherwise known as Mr. Sportsmanship, came in second with Cult Mechanicus. So what is Sean's latest evil creation?
God, his list is just a mess.
He's running, starts off with a patrol, looks like. Let's make sure I got this correct. Nope, I was wrong. It's a battalion of Jakari. Starts off with Jazar, who is his warlord, Succubus, with Hypex combat drug, so that's a plus two movement, competitive edge, which is the nasty warlord trait, and also gave them a trip witch, and the archaic glaive. He's got three units of racks, all with liquefier guns. He's got a unit
of Dark Technomancers, which are super broken.
Yep, Dark Technomancers. Three Grotesques, all with liquefier guns. And three Raiders, all with Dark Lance, Grizzly Trophies, and Phantasm Grenade Launchers.
Mm-hmm.
Then he adds in a patrol of Inari, featuring the Vizark, a unit of five Witches, two units of Incubi, one unit of eight, one unit of six, and then has a dedicated Raider for them. Also with the Dark Lance, Grizzly Trophies, and Phantasm Grenade Launcher. And to round this one off, a spearhead of Craft World featuring Irelioth, who is the Forge World Phoenix Lord. I forgot they call the Shadow Keeper. Shadow. They're the weird floaty guys that with a crazy gun from Forge World.
Shadow Spectres.
Shadow Spectres, thank you. And three units of three Dark Reapers, as well as two Night Spinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like a as well thing to say.
So, weaving more and more craziness together.
Yeah, it's a very typical Shiny list.
All right, we're heading back out west this time to Cheyenne, Wyoming for the Olympus Games GT. Surprisingly, no Greek gods were hurt in the making of this GT. In fifth place, Jake Degenhart comes in fifth place with Drukhari. Fourth place, Jason Wales with Death Guard. Dylan Grant comes in third with Dark Angels. Tau Empire, piloted by Ben Neal, is your second place finisher. And your top performer is Matt Evans with Tyranids, of all things. So
go Tyranids.
Yeah, Tau and Tyranids, 1-2 in a GT.
I think that's awesome.
Looking at a quick look of his army. He still has a 2 Dimecarian. I'll learn how to pronounce it sooner or later.
I think that's right. That's right. It's going to be.
But it's interesting. He's got. He's got a super heavy detachment. I'm like, what? He's got a Herodon in his list.
Herodon. I don't even know what those do, but it sounds cool.
So I know it's a big flying thing, and I know it used to like rain units down like crazy, like gargoyles and stuff. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Crazy stuff. All right. Last. Tournament of the weekend, War in the Burg GT in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So your top five looks something like this. Jeremy Knox featuring Drukhari coming in fifth. In fourth place, Drukhari once again, this time with Jonas Beardsley. Stephen Henry IV coming in third with Custodes. Mark Hertel with Colt Mechanicus, another top five for them in second place. And Paul MacArthur wins it, believe it or not, with Imperial Knights.
Amazing. Go Knights.
Go Kniggets. So quick look at what that list looks like. He is House Crashed. And
I haven't played Knights in so long, I don't even know what they do anymore.
I don't either. I never would pay attention. I'm just like, they got what now? He's a character. And okay, whatever. Okay. Anyway, he's got Armature Helverin with the Heavy Stubbers, Armature Helverin with Meltaguns, a Knight Warden, a Questaris Knight Bulgaria, which I know is one of the crazy... Forge World ones. He's got two of those. And one with Siege Claw and Twin Rad Cleanser. No, they both have the same thing. The Siege Claw and Twin Rad Cleanser. So I have to look all that up to figure out what they do. I just remember Knights, Big Guns. I'm in a lot of trouble trying to take objectives. So there you are. Whole bunch of activity this particular weekend. Jim, any hot takes when you see those names and those factions in the top five?
Well, great to ask me, Eric, because I do have an opinion. So, okay. So we obviously talked mostly about the top fives, but if you actually look at across all events this weekend, Drukhari in some of the events, like the top 10 was like six Drukharis out of 10. I think they had, I saw some stats from Peter the Falcon tonight that they were around 75% win rate over the weekend. So first of all, here's what I want everyone to understand. Everyone is talking about the succubus with 1,000 attacks, right? That's all you hear people talking about. That is fundamentally not the issue with Drukhari. So people think that that 60-point succubus that has 40 attacks is broken. And in a lot of ways, yes, it is. And it's very, very strong. It's too strong, needs to be nerfed. But the issue is that is actually not the issue with the book. The issue is that there's certain stratagems like Eviscerating Flyby, Dark Technomancer Liquefiers, which take away the entire downside of Dark Technomancers. Things like Reavers being as cheap as they are. Raiders being as cheap as they are, Reavers being as cheap as they are. There is like, this is like remember when the Iron Hands got their multiple nerfs and there's like three or four nerfs? These guys are like past that broken, I think, strong. They need multiple adjustments across multiple areas. They need points adjustments. They need rules. Certain rules need to get toned down and then certain rules need to get tweaked and language fixed. So my concern is people are too busy fiending about this one succubus and GW, like they have for the past two or three FAQs where they've done like three, there's like literally 3 points in the FAQ. They're going to come in and they're going to fix one small thing with the succubus and they're going to give themselves a pat on the back and they're going to move on with life. And really the reality is that the book is fundamentally too strong. And I'm not saying that as someone that is being like, I'm not coming from a place of like just reacting or not really looking at it. When you look at the data, when you talk to the players, when you look at all of the factual data, plus the anecdotal data, plus like the general sense of like experience, like, trust me guys, when you play competitive 40K or competitive or sport or whatever at a very high level, you just know. You see things like this and you just know. I don't need to sit there and have Drukhari win and another just clean up the whole circuit for another 6 months to know that they're much stronger. They're much, much stronger than every other book out there. Now, that's not like the fault of the players, but they are just fundamentally... You mentioned, Eric, that you played a game, you were down like 36 points and you came back to almost win it. Name me one other book that comes back from a 30-point down 30 points mid game and comes back to almost win it. Like it just doesn't happen, right? Their ability, they're able to trade better than every army. They're able to shoot better than every army. They're able to move better than almost every army. The stratagems are like insane. Plus, I mean, look at Sean Eden's list. You can soup in Dark Eldar and Yunari and Harlequins, Eldar, Yunari and Harlequins on top of all that. And then you look at, yeah, so you just have this like combination of two strong units for too cheap and too many stacking special rules and too many special extra free abilities. Like Power from Pain is one of the best things in the game, and it's absolutely free. And all of their other that's on top of their Legion bonuses. That's on top of their like Coven bonuses or Obsession bonuses. Like it's just, and I'm going to be salty here for a sec. When I look at a book like Death Guard and even Necrons or even Dark Angels and Marines, like what you're getting for free with so little restriction just is too good. And in a game where objectives and training is key, I think the book is just too strong. And I don't think it needs like a massive nerf. I don't think they should come in and double the points or anything, but they need to tone down a few of the stratagems. They just need to cap some of the things. It's like it's as if like they wrote this book before they realized that, like, you guys remember the whole fiasco with the salamanders where they come in and do like 100 mortal wounds. It's like they almost wrote this book. Almost every stratagem. Okay, I'll give you an example. Almost every stratagem in my Death Guard book, no matter what it is limited to 3 mortal wounds max. So they learned their lesson at one point when with the rules writing is like, hey, actually put maxes on mortal wounds. Otherwise, these stratagems get out of control. And they did that with salamanders. There's multiple times where they've done that. And then you look at Dark Eldar and it's like, no, I can actually do like 15 mortal wounds to you from one flyby with my Hellions. That's cool. Right. Like it's just, is it Hellions or Reavers? I can't remember which.
They both can do it.
They both can do it. Right. And they can all like, exactly. Right. So it's like, so anyways, I just think there's just too many rules and they're not paying for the rules. It's like, yeah. So I think the book's too strong and I'm really concerned about the health of the game. If AdMech continues this power creep, I'm still going to play. I'm still going to have fun, whatever. But when it comes to singles, like if they're as strong as, if, you know, people are going to adapt a little bit, and I assume their win rate will go down as people start to learn how to fight against them. But you're not going to go from a 75 to like a 55, which is probably where you want 55 to 45. You're going to go from like a 75 to like 65, which is still higher than Yanari was back in 2018. So I'm just concerned about the health of the game personally. And like, I could easily start Jukari. I won't, because I just, that's just not my style. But like, yeah, I'm just, I have concerns about how it affects the overall health of the game, the enjoyment of the game. So, yeah, GGW. And like, we don't know when the next FAQ is going to come. It's like nowhere in sight. The points adjustments, we don't even know if we're going to get one anymore. Like, there's just so many unknowns, right? So I do have concerns.
I think some of the concerns are definitely warranted. It's, you know, I'm seeing a lot of, Jukari was definitely a niche faction, and we kind of knew, all of us in the competitive circuit, who the Jukari players were. And I'm definitely not recognizing a lot of names, and definitely top players are playing Jukari out of the blue. I'm kind of like, oh, I guess you're part of the party now. And so that's always a sign for me that maybe the book is a little strong. Second thing I look at is the release schedule. And that's where, okay, when is AdMech coming out? When's the book? We don't even know what the book is after that. So I've always felt like if you're going to make these ramp-ups, because I still think those Space Marine codices are still really powerful. And having, it's one of those, yeah, looking at the Jukari at where we are now, are they strong? Yes. Where will they be once all the other books come out? Not even all of them. You know, give me five more books. Be curious to see what happens. And
Space Marines and Dark Angels and Blood Angels and Space Wolves and Necrons and Death Guard are all already out, and they're not even close. So what happened? What do we say to those guys? Just sorry for being the first books. And I get that. That happens every edition. I'm just saying the parallel. It's not about, are the new books stronger? Because they always will be. That's GW's model, is new books always end up being stronger. It's just, it's the gap, right? So I think it's just too big of a gap. It's just too much stronger.
I don't know. I still think I know what some of the armies that haven't come out yet have things that Jukari have no counter against. You know, especially Smite Spam. You know, you got, when Grey Knights and Thousand Suns come out, you know, you're just gonna pick up Jukari left and right.
Yeah, the problem is like Smite Spam doesn't do anything. You just tank it with Raiders, and then like they're on top of you in two turns and just wipe you. Like I don't see how Smite, there is no such thing as Smite Spam. That doesn't exist in the game anymore.
We'll see. You know, I guess that's where I'm at. Is
I'm just telling you right now, the state they are right now, they're too strong compared to the current books, especially the ninth edition books. And yeah, if some future codex comes out that's even stronger and beats them, then like we'll complain about that when the time comes. But
okay. We'll just leave it at that then, because that, yeah, that's kind of where I'm like, okay, I've seen this, we've been down this road before with this codex, with this faction, and I'm like, yeah, it's great for a while, then all of a sudden, yep, we're down to a mono build, just to even,
it is April 25th 2021. I will remember this conversation in a year when Jukari are unnerfed and still destroying everyone.
Okay, fair enough.
Come back.
okay So there you go. Beyond that, but it is definitely what I'm saying. There are still a lot of people jumping on the Jukari bandwagon, and I'm already hearing quite a bit of people making adjustments to Counterpunch, so it's always good to see what that Counterpunch will be. Interesting enough, next weekend is the Dallas GT,
mm-hmm.
and so I'll be curious to see what people have brought. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more Jukari. I don't think people have had a chance to adjust their list yet to make those successful countermeasures. So yeah, I think you're right. I think you probably see at least, I would say conservatively, four Jukari in the top 10.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the player list. So I always say pick the driver, not the car, I guess.
Yep.
Or something along those lines. So I haven't seen the actual player list. I'm not sure if it's live and what everyone's playing yet, but
let me look that up while we're doing that.
Sorry.
I will look that up now while you're talking.
Is it on BCP?
I will find out. One moment, please.
This is the great content you guys get. You get live.
But to Jim's point, that is what makes us different from a podcast, is we look at the players. You know, the top players have been at the top for a long time, for even when factions fall in and out of favor.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. This will be the big. Is this the biggest GT we've had since, like?
I think you in at least the US. Yeah, I would say
pretty big.
There we go. April 30th, Irvine, Texas. Let's take a look at the roster here. So, dun, dun, dun. Looking for some of the... So, Alan Hernandez won a GT 2 weeks ago. He's bringing Harlequins once again. Mm-hmm. So, no surprise there. He's Anthony Birdsong has not mentioned what faction he's bringing, so that could be up there. Bam Ham Hunter, we talked about him earlier today. He has signed up for that. He is bringing... What was he playing last week? He was bringing Chaos when we talked about him today. So I'm assuming he's right now is left blank, so that could be up for debate.
Nick Nonavati, I'm sure he'll play his Dark Eldar as well. So Sean Naden's heading down there as well. Sean Naden's really getting out this year. Seems like he's a lot more active.
Colin McDade doesn't show what faction. I'm assuming he's going to be taking Harlequins again. He's been pretty much playing them consistently. I know Dan Alavas is not playing Drukhari. He did not get them ready in time, so he's going to be playing his Craftworld list. David Vitterall, I have to double-check what he plays. Be something different. Don Huzin, of course, playing Death Guard. No surprise there. Somebody's playing...
I'm putting it... Here's my hot take.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say Nick or Naden will take it. Okay. I know that's like a very bold prediction given the caliber of those players, but... Mm-hmm. Those are my predictions.
So Jack Harpster doesn't show his list yet. James Keeling playing Drukhari again. He won this past weekend. Moving on to other players we've talked about. Jack Camacho is playing Imperium. No surprise. Again, I'm going through the Dallas GT roster as it shows up today on Sunday. Sunday before the event. So I'm curious what their deadline is to turn in your list. Seems
probably
like
a week before.
Yeah, Mark Hertel, we talked about. He is not listed. List is not uploaded. I bet it's sometime tonight then, because it's next. Nick Nadavati is not listed. It. Yeah, I'm sorry. One more. Sean Naden has not listed his posted his list yet. Getting down. Oh, Goat Boy is bringing White Scars. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not.
And William Ivey's bringing Grey Knights, which I think he plays often. So, yeah, this is next weekend. So. I thought this would be due by now. So interesting.
Yes.
So of course we will have full coverage next weekend of the Dallas GT as those events roll through. Meantime, let's get to the ITC top 10. See who's on top at the moment with a bit of a shakeup between these past events. Starting off at number 10, we mentioned him earlier today. Jeremiah Pettit is in 10th place, 716 points. Just ahead of him, 9th points by 0.3 of a point is Rob Triplett. Zachary Nelson coming in 8th place. Mate Cesar starting to slide back down the list, 7th place. James Keeling, who we mentioned, 6th place. In 5th place, David Robson, we mentioned him earlier, winning it well this weekend. 4th place, Charlie Andre. For 3rd place, Evan Tomchin. 2nd place, Sean Naden. Apparently, goofy list works for him. Still in the lead after having a rough weekend. He only went 3-2 in his GT appearance this week. It was Ryan Schneider, still on top of the ITC with 872 points. Other big change since last week. Everybody in the top 10, with the exception of Sean Naden, has 5 events under their belt. Rob and Ryan, who's in first place, have 6 events. Sean has 4. So... good shouting from the Dallas GT. Ryan could lose his number one spot to Sean pretty quickly, as he only has a 110-point lead over Sean. So we will follow that for you next week. Jim, any other big announcements for coming up this week?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just about everything. Nothing.
All right.
I did get my Bellicor, which is exciting, and we've been having lots of quality father-son time together. But other than that,
curious, are you, first of all, how lucky were you to get that at the store?
Well, it's actually funny because I'm usually very on top of pre-ordering for my LGS. Like, usually, even before the pre-orders are allowed, like, as soon as they announce a model, I usually email them, like, hey, when this is available, can I pre-order one? I did that with Curse City. Like, as soon as they, like, previewed it, I was like, hey, I'm not sure when this is out for pre-order, but when it is, I'd like to put my name on down for one. And usually that guarantees that I always get models. And then for this, for some reason, I waited till the day before they actually went on pre-order. So like the Thursday or maybe the Friday, even that they went on pre-order, and then I emailed them. So I emailed one game store that I don't usually go to just to put my name on the pre-order. And cause I wanted to try, cause they have a 15% discount. And then they were like, we only got two allocated. So then I emailed my normal game store, which doesn't do a discount because they just don't really need to because they just sell the shit anyways. And they're like, yeah, we got you. And then they emailed me like, hey, your Bellicor's here. So when I went in, it turned out they actually got seven. They got allocated two originally, but then they got a call saying if they wanted like seven more. So they ended up getting nine. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I think I have another Bellicor secured for a conversion down the road. I actually converted mine a little bit. I got rid of all the chains because I hate them and they're going to break anyways. And then I also reposed the sword a little bit. I'm going to practice my object source lighting with the sword and do like a really glowy sword. So wish me luck because I'm going to paint the model and then probably ruin it.
I'll say it's a wish you luck. I did the opposite when I was rushing for this tournament. I did all this wonderful, cool shading and then I screwed up. I had my edge highlighting just some nasty, and it's going back to match that shading is going to be impossible. So I'm like, I gotta start
it's
over.
It's gonna be interesting because like I don't love painting black, and I'm not sure if I'm gonna paint in black. But I also because I don't know. I mean, you've seen my armies; they're quite vibrant and bright, and so a fully black or a heavy black model just doesn't seem to fit. So I'm still trying to figure out how I want to paint him, but I have some ideas in my head.
Look forward to seeing that, so we can check that on Duplicity Paint. I've got a couple things I'm working behind the scenes. I'll not quite there to announce them, but stay tuned to the Exterminatus podcast. I'll have more announcements coming up soon. And meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Jim.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.
All right.